And now, live from Studio 91, it's the Chairman's Report COVID-19 Update Program, your daily resource for information about the COVID-19 outbreak here in the Hoopa Valley. This is a rebroadcast of a live program, so when the phone numbers are announced, please do not call. Now here's your host, Tribal Chairman Byron Nelson Jr.
Good afternoon. This is Byron Nelson Jr. with our noontime report on the COVID-19. The last 3 days we had to discontinue the report due to a recommendation from the police department because there were different things circulating on Facebook about gathering here and protesting a issue that's going on at Kamau. That's a personnel issue. So they had recommended that we not have it over the weekend and Monday because of the threat of having people gather outside the radio station, which had violated the gathering policies that we have as far as against the spread of the virus. So today I have Dr. Eva Smith and Dr. Emmett Chase and the IC commander Greg Moon here today. We didn't bring in most of our other team because they're really, really busy and doing things that they have to do. Now this show is just going to be about the effort in curtailing the virus. If you call in at 625-4245, just keep it on that topic with positive suggestions about what we can do. We won't take any calls that are political in nature, especially about personnel issues. I won't accept them. We've got to get down to work on fighting this virus, and we can't let politics get involved that will hamper the jobs that we have to do. So to begin with, let me go turn to Greg, and you can maybe even give a little report on the fire too. Okay, you want to start with that?
Okay. Well, a couple things. So the Jones Point fire, a lot of people saw that high visibility fire that happened, and you got to see really what managing a fire looks like. So we had several starts that day, and I believe it was four or five that started the Jones Point fire, and our folks got on it. We were able to manage it and get resources from our neighbors and from the Red Salmon Complex. We were able to get that thing lined and mopped up in extremely steep, rugged terrain. We did have an injury. A firefighter broke his leg. And so it's really unfortunate to have a season-ending or maybe even a career-ending injury of somebody coming here to help us. So that human-caused ignitions here on the reservation have just got to stop. You know, when you look at what you're doing when you put people at risk, you're messing with people's lives. You're messing with people's families and their ability to provide for their families. So we take that very serious, and we're taking some big actions to combat that problem. So right now the fire is going to be listed at 95% contained. We're going to have two engines and one water tender patrolling and mopping up for the next few days. That won't affect our initial attack resources. We'll have those here on the valley floor ready to initial attack any fires. The Red Salmon Complex, the red fire is a little over 7,000 acres right now, and it's starting to make runs and against the burnout lines along the Pack Saddle Ridge. And so the plan is to have a line along Pack Saddle Ridge all the way up to just about I want to say the Soldier Creek area in the wilderness. Mm-hmm. So that's a primary line, and they're working on strengthening that with a hand line, tractor line, and with burning the fuel. And so it's going to make some runs up to that pack saddle ridge and all along that ridge to the south. But crews are on that, and they're making great progress. They have a lot of aircraft to help keep us safe. Right now we're looking at contingency lines on some of those roads, like by Bear Hole and McKay Meadows, and you know, the NO2 road up there on Mill Creek. And then we're also looking at contingency lines, which actually fall on reservation lands, which we've used before along the Longridge area. So we're looking at those with Jeff Lindsay in forestry and the cultural reps there for the tribe, the TIPO. And we're all working together with the team, with the forest, and we have a good plan. And I'm happy with the performance of the team and all the folks out there. They're really, we have a good plan, and we believe that we're going to be successful. Still early in the year, so we're going to be looking at some smoke impacts on the different communities, whether it be there on the Klamath side, the Shasta Trinity side, or the tribal side. So depending on which way the wind blows, we're going to be impacted by the smoke, which kind of compounds the COVID-19 issue that we have, because it weakens people's immunities, those that are high at risk. And so being the incident commander for the COVID team, you know, I'm really proud of the team that we have established now. And even the progress from late last week until now has been huge. Establishing the phone lines to go through the team and have 24-hour coverage on those, and having somebody that can answer right away was one of the directions you gave me on Friday. And that has been implemented. Unfortunately, we did have the landline phones go down partially through the weekend, so there was some calls that didn't get immediate service, but they are getting served. Not only that, but we did assist in some food box giveaways and mask and PPE giveaways, and we're going to continue doing that. The command center is open too for people that have needs. We're also providing service through to the isolated and quarantined folks. Mm-hmm. Not only just, you know, giving them food and the things they need to keep them from going to the store and or being out in the public, so they can really maintain that separation. But what we're doing is we're, you know, thinking about things like trash. They can't go take their trash, and really we don't want COVID trash mixed with regular trash. So we had to get trash bins and trash containers, and then we have to have people go and actually deal with that stuff. Then you have laundry and things like that that we're talking about. I mean, so the more we get into, the more cases we have, the more complex it gets, and the more our team is at risk themselves. So we have to take proper precautions in dealing with this stuff. So we're developing standard operating procedures on how we deliver food, how we deal with the trash, how we interact with the isolated and quarantined folks. So really making huge progress. I'm really happy with the team we have. They're working well together. Our deputy IC, Wendy Ferris George, is doing a phenomenal job. And then keeping the community informed with the public information and operations has been great. And then our plan itself, you know, we're fine-tuning our objectives so that we can be successful in meeting those. And then as the incident grows or decreases, we can adjust those objectives so that we're successful. And I expect to be providing the public our morning 8 o'clock operational briefing. We did a practice this morning. We just recorded it. We didn't broadcast it live, but I expect later in the week that we'll start that every morning at 8 o'clock, so that the public can watch us, what we're briefing on, what our plans for the day are or the week, and really kind of gauge how we're meeting our objectives for the team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What I was concerned about myself was the more of a personal contact with the people that either are probably in quarantine and or needing the services. I got a few calls this weekend about people wanting to volunteer serving as runners, at, even at home, to be able to get on the phone and call those people that are requiring attention, supplies, and whatever. But I think it we can really look at including more runners. That'll all be reimbursed, of course. So I don't think there's a limit on how many people we can get aboard to serve that personal contact that really needs to take place. Now, I know you're going to have to leave here pretty quick for a meeting on the with I believe the Forest Service up in Willow Creek.
Yeah.
Pretty quick here. So, let me turn to one call. Let's go ahead and have a report on the number of cases and what's before I turn to this call. Dr. Smith, do you want to?
Sure. Yeah. So good afternoon. For those that are keeping track on the OES website, our commitment from Kamel Medical Center is to provide updated information by 11 o'clock every morning. And so what was just posted is that we now have 26 total cases in HOOPA. There were two additional positives identified last night. And I do mean after hours, because that's the reality of when sometimes reports come in. One individual that was previously listed as an active is now in a recovered state, and so we have switched to three recovered, leaving a total of 23 active cases. I still expect additional cases to be identified as we go through our contact tracing system. There's still individuals that literally today, some of our staff have gone out to do home visits, so we're in the process of calling people to come in to get tested. I know that this is scary. I know that there's sometimes, out of fear, anxiety that produces people sometimes approaching this from a pointing negatively at individuals, and this is a disease. This is not somebody's fault. This is a disease that we want to desperately try to contain and limit within our community, which is extremely vulnerable because of how many people that we have that have diabetes and hep C and all kinds of different conditions that make their immune system a little bit weaker and able to fight it off. The majority of the people will, for the most part, do well and come out of this, but the more that we can do to limit, that's what our goal is. The statistics of our current cases, including, well, the total cases, we had a total of 10 men and 16 females. The age range has been from 15 months to 67 years. So it's really sweeping a broad spectrum of the community. We have several people in quarantine, others in isolation. And again, as I mentioned, we're still trying to do additional contact tracing. We are very fortunate to have the public health nurse assigned to Eastern Humboldt is Marilyn Powell, a tribal member and a very experienced nurse who works with the county. And so to have somebody local that really understands the geography and a lot of the family systems dynamics has been incredibly helpful. The number of cases has warranted her getting additional support. The tribe does have some contact tracers that we're working on agreements with the county so that they can work collaboratively. At this point, I believe the contact tracing, because of the resources at the county, needs to be in the county structure. But we work collaboratively, and several times a day, I'm in touch with Dr. Frankovich as needed, and certainly with Marilyn Powell, probably four or five times a day as the investigation proceeds. I know that there's an folks want to know, you know, what's the percentage that were travel-related or different things. So we know for sure of a more recent case that was travel-related. The two that were identified last night were contacts of known positive in the community. But where this latest cluster really started, and there are several different family systems that are involved, that's still not clear, and that's truly an investigation to figure out who had symptoms first, who went where. And so when that information is available, that will be communicated to the community as well. But I think we have a good team. We've been at this at the medical center in being prepared and responding to any of the new guidance that was coming out from CDC as early as late January. We were fortunate with just one case in early April to give us additional time throughout the entire structure as well as the medical center to really be in that preparedness state. So when the outbreak did hit, we had a lot of systems in place that we could readily respond to. We have a good testing team. We have depth to that team. Given the reality of the outbreak and aggressively looking at the additional folks that needed to be tested, we intentionally opened up to work over the weekend, both set Sunday and Monday, because we didn't want to wait until Tuesday before we could start testing again. And some of that investigation and testing resulted in identifying cases earlier. So I'm real thankful for the staff that were able to step up and do that. As Greg mentioned, on top of that, we're dealing with smoke. So people are coughing, and is this smoke? Is this allergies? Is this COVID? What is it? And it's scary times, and we at the medical center remain available for questions. I know there's a problem, as he mentioned, with the lines, but for the most part, we do have the after-hours number in addition to calling in on a regular basis to talk to your provider or the care managers of your staff.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Smith. I'll go ahead and take this one call here, and I want to remind the caller that this is purely about the COVID-19, not any political statements or anything like that will be allowed. I will cut you off if you go into that area. I want positive statements about suggestions on how to make this help us fight this stuff. That's what we're here for, and not politics. So I'll go ahead and take the first caller. Caller, you're on the air. Caller, you're on the air. Okay, I'll go to the other. Caller, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Hi. One of the CDC contact tracing suggestions using non-public health staff and volunteers for staff working in other areas, public services or volunteers and students, retired health professionals, education professionals that could be answering calls and conducting questionnaires. Are there plans to utilize those sort of suggestions?
Who wants to answer that?
This is Greg Moon. I'm the IC on the incident command team. We talked about that this morning at our briefing. You know, some neighboring tribes are using their human resource folks that work for the tribe, which is a great idea. But we are looking, as we start to develop our team more, looking at actually taking these trainings and offering those trainings to individuals. We're not there yet, but that is something we're talking about. And I love the idea of volunteers and the folks that you spoke of.
Okay, good, because I kind of, the reason I ask is I fear the stigma in Indian country will limit our resources needed for the crisis.
Mm-hmm. So there have been some individuals that were trained on Kamau's side. They were not necessarily Kamau employees, but with Stephen Stake leadership and working with some CRIB and other entities, we had already started doing some training. And we're actually working on a memorandum agreement with the county so that we can have a formal relationship and get people mentored and shadowed and into that system. But we certainly know that some of the success of what's happened over the past week or so has been linked to having somebody local that understood the community dynamics and honestly have the trust. People can call and ask questions, but you know, there's often a hesitancy, which I certainly respect, of I'm not going to talk to you. And yet this is a time we really, really need people to feel comfortable knowing that it is for the common good of the community that the questions are asked and that people candidly answer them. And we also know we're human and sometimes don't remember things. And so sometimes in repeated interviews it comes out, you know what, I forgot I went such and such a place, or you know, I forgot that so-and-so dropped by for a visit, and all that information is valuable.
Okay.
Will there be plans to bring people in who do have the certification?
Did you want to?
Now we're looking at folks that are willing to come here from both the state and ICW, Indian Health Organization. And so we're looking at people that can come in and help there as far as the to actually help on the team. As far as the tracking training, that's just something we started talking about this morning, so I really don't have much progress on that right now. But I feel like that's something that we're going to be moving towards this week.
Okay. I look forward to some updates. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for calling.
Well.
So why don't we turn to seems to be one of the biggest concerns with the people in the valley, or the tracking or tracing of the people that have the virus. And I wanted to maybe, Emmett, you'd like to talk about that a little bit?
We are concerned that there are more positive people in the community that haven't been identified yet. So we're really encouraging people, if they've had contact with a known person or have traveled outside the area and come back, or had people visit from outside of the area and come into the community, to consider getting tested. Usually the people that are infected, that are known to be infected, can infect a lot of people rapidly. Most of the households that are involved, the infection spread rapidly in the household. Yeah. So it's as common a spread as a common cold, I guess, if you will. So it's really very infectious, and so we're very concerned about that.
Okay. Thank you. We have another caller, and I want to remind the caller to please keep on topic, okay? We'll go ahead with the caller. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, I have a question regarding COVID-19. With all the cases and the outbreak, are some of the tribal council and the chairman, have they been tested? You know, has Kamel employees have been tested too? Because they're at risk too if they're public officials.
Well, I can probably answer that. Our policy, what we do over at the tribal office, when we come into work in the morning, we're temperature is taken, and we wear masks all day long. Everyone in that building over there, the council also wears masks while they're there. None of them seem to have any symptoms. I don't have any symptoms. Until we get symptoms, I guess we're not going to get tested. Is that correct, the way that works?
But you can be asymptomatic and be a carrier and not have any of the symptoms. Especially being in the health field or being public officials, that, you know, it would be nice, you know, for a sense of, as the membership, to know that, you know, that they are all taken care of, you know, because if they go around any of the elders or, you know, it'd be nice to know that, you know, more people are being tested.
Right. I agree. Dr. Smith, you want to?
So we actually had just finished formulating a testing plan to begin testing certainly Kamau employees, and then ultimately spread it out to offer testing throughout the tribal structures. I can tell you that there have been several, I can't give you the exact number off the top of my head, but since, I'd say, March, we first started testing anyone that had travel or symptoms that were concerning. And so a number of Kamau employees have been tested already, just as part of the routine. I've traveled, or I'm scared, or I've got this fever, or whatever it is, and they have all been negative to date. But in terms of more structured testing all the staff on some rotating basis, and similarly offering that to the tribal departments, especially those that have a lot of direct public interface, that is a plan. But part of the issue that we haven't talked yet about is testing capacity. There is limited, we have a rapid test that we have had for months at Kamau, and it is most valuable when someone is symptomatic. So that's not a good screening tool for asymptomatic patients. Our test.
Okay. And then what about local agencies? I know there is like the LHEC, the LHI, which is like an agency that a lot of counties have been using around the state. It's free testing. I know there's one in Eureka at their Redwood Acres. Is that public knowledge to prefer, like, for the tribal membership to go out there or have them come to the reservation to do group testing?
Well, I can tell you that even that system got overwhelmed, and they actually shut down and stopped testing for a while. The contract with that company was supposed to expire the end of August, and apparently it's been expanded to September. But the machines that the county has are expanding, and I've been on several testing conference calls with Del Norte, Yurok Tribe, Hoopah Tribe, and Humboldt County about ways to expand our local testing capacity. We can collect tests and send them off to LabCorp, which is a private lab, in addition to if it meets the priority scale to be able to have testing done in county. But county had the capacity of maybe 75 tests a day, and if you can think about the entire county absorbing all of those, that's they're working to get a new machine that'll give them probably 300 a day capability. Mm-hmm. And we're also looking at expanding in a collaborative effort to get an additional machine in the area that will be able to process 900 a day, which will give us much more options.
Good. Yeah, it would be just nice because, mm-hmm. you know, I know for myself, I work in the health field, and I routinely get, you know, I don't have symptoms or anything, but when you're around patients or just around, in general, people that have respiratory issues or if they have autoimmune systems that are, you know, susceptible, it's just to help the staff to be able to have, to know that they're also safe to go around, too, because you don't want people to hesitate not to go to Comal to get for treatment, too. Okay.
Well, caller, we have another caller, so do you have any more questions?
Not at this time, but I'll call back.
Sure. Thank you. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. All right.
We'll go with the second caller here. Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Hello?
Hello. You're on the air.
So I work in the ECE building, and I'm wondering what your plan is for the ECE building and COVID-19, because I really don't want to come back to work until there's a vaccine. But all of us working there are wondering what's going on.
What building did you say you were working in?
Early childhood education.
The early child.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Who wants to field that question?
Well, for all the... This is Greg Moon. For all of the tribal departments, the department heads are submitting safety plans to the incident command team. We review those plans to ensure the safety of the employees. In this case, you know, we have sent a lot of employees home. And until, as we had the increase of positive cases, the chairman and the council made that decision to only have certain critical
essential
employees on. But in order to come back on and go into the next stage of returning, that safety plan has to be well vetted, and it is also designed to make the employees safe as well as the customers safe. And so we are taking steps to ensure your safety, but really it's between you and your director or your supervisor to talk about those things, especially for people that are at risk.
Mm-hmm. Caller, did you have another
question? Because I did the attendance on one part of that program, and back in January we were seeing up to 26 kids absent a day due to illness. One had Kawasaki, two had scarlet fever, multiple cases of pneumonia, bronchitis, and I suggested we close down for 2 weeks because it was out of hand. And by March, we were seeing the flu going around in that building for the third time. So when you say department heads, I know you mean managers, and I understand that, but there are 44 people that work in that building. Some of them have issues. Some of them have people at home that have diabetes, as myself. I also have a daughter-in-law that has lupus. I can't even stress to you enough, as a tribal leader, Byron and Eva, as our main doctor, that these buildings need to be taken very seriously. And it just scares me to think of that building even opening back up and bringing kids back in there. I'm also the bus driver.
Mm-hmm.
School buses are literally incubators on wheels. That's what they are. And I haven't even seen a California law yet from school bus. They're still working on it. So when you're sitting around the table negotiating this, please keep in mind that there are 44 of us working there.
Yeah.
And, you know, most of them are in the classroom. You don't really see admin in a classroom too much. So
well, there's,
that's what I'm my voicing my concern today to you.
I thank you very much, and I want to assure you that there is no plans on opening that facility in the near future here. So don't worry about it opening without any knowledge of it. So is there another caller? Yeah. Thank you, caller, for that stuff. I'll go to the second caller here. Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Hi. I was wondering, with the approaching applications you mentioned last week, will the team be using a centralized approach?
What's the question again?
With the pending applications mentioned last week, will the team be using a centralized approach?
Greg, do you understand that?
I don't really understand the question.
Pending? Did you say pending applications?
Smartphone applications.
For working on the IC team?
I'm not sure I understand the question.
They recommend using media.
Oh, I see. So using media to meet and disseminate information to the public, that sort of thing?
Yes.
Yeah, so we have Matthew Douglas.
And to attract COVID questions.
Yeah, Pat Jackson, and we also have Allie Hostler working on improving our media and social media and even meetings with the council and briefings.
I meant for tracking patients.
Oh.
According to the CDC.
Yeah, for tracking patients, the team is not on that part of it right now, so we rely totally on the Kamau Medical Center to provide us the statistics and as far as the tracking of patients and doing the actual tracing, I don't know that we are using that at this time. We're using the county tracing method. So maybe Eva can talk about that more.
So
are you aware that CDC does recommend centralized and decentralized applications?
Yes.
To track patients.
Yes, yes. And that's what we're doing, working with the county and looking at how we can build the infrastructure with the tribe.
Okay, caller, did you have another question?
I've heard enough. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. We're having lost one of our panel members here. Greg Moon had to leave. Is that on the... We have another caller. Is that number two? Yeah, okay.
Hello? Hello?
Caller, you're on the air.
Hello?
You're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Okay, I have a question regarding contact tracing. I don't think the initial response was adequate enough. I understand. Am I on the air?
Yes, you are.
Okay. I understand the contact tracing is when a person is positive, then that they should identify who they come in contact with, and a team should be contacting those people and having them tested. I asked Marilyn Powell if she has the resources, if she has the manpower, and with the $1 million has gone over to Kamau, it would seem that there would be some help from Kamau under training to follow up with the contact tracing. You know, if we don't get a handle on this, this is, could be a lot worse. So what is exactly the Kamau and OES doing as far as contact tracing, adequate contact tracing?
Okay. Marceline, we'll go ahead and turn that question over to Eva.
So we have taken a fairly proactive, conservative approach here. And we ask people to go into quarantine isolation, depending on the circumstance, at time of testing, not test result. In most places, when you get tested, unless it's for a pre-surgical kind of condition, you just wait for your, are you there?
I think she hung up.
You wait for the result. And as you hear on the radio and the TV about some people have to wait a week or 2 weeks to get that result. But we have chosen to be far more conservative that when we test, we ask people to isolate with their family system right from the beginning. And everybody that tests, they get a packet that includes some general information about isolation, about self-care, how to access the resources to get you groceries, diapers, whatever it is that you need in addition to the medical side support. But we also ask you to start thinking about who have you been with within the past several days that should you become positive, you've already begun to think that through so that when the contact tracer calls you, you're able to quickly think, oh yeah, I was here, I was there, I was there. So once there is a positive, that information then instantly is coordinated with the county. We have been able to access additional resources to support Maryland, not only from within the county, but also requesting state resources, as I mentioned a little bit earlier, and working on upgrading our training and capability and number of people that can respond here locally. But I think that there has been very aggressive response, and I think that the fact that we made the decision early on is if we're really going to protect, and what we watched, what happened on Navajo, we were very proactive of saying it's too late to wait 3, 4, 5 days to get a result. We want people to isolate from the time they first come in with symptoms or concerned about any potential exposure they had.
Well, the other, real big concerns here in the Valley that I seem to, I get some calls, and it's the, talking about, you know, there is a certain amount of confidentiality about the people that do have the virus, and there are laws kind of protecting them. But yet there's the rumors that go around the valley here, they seem to know, it's pretty hard to keep it a secret sometimes, who might be affected, and they report that they see them around the valley. Now, that's something that I think we have the chief of police here, and we've got to start monitoring who has the who's in quarantine, and for them not to be out and about. Chief Kane, did you want to speak to that?
Yeah. So. You know, unless we have a positive ID on the individuals that are infected, an updated list of names, the officers really can't, you know, go out and enforce someone to stay home. Like you said, there's quite a bit of rumors of speculation that someone may have it. Unless we know for certain, our hands are kind of tied. We don't really want to get into a kind of a Fourth Amendment violation, you know, the illegal search and seizure. Of an individual, so it's mainly just working with Kamau and getting an updated list of those names and getting it out to the officer so that they can be on patrol and be on the lookout, and if we do get a call of a positive patient, that we can respond properly and get them home safely. But at the same time, they will be issued that citation, and you know, we will be seeking maximum penalty. So.
There is new HIPAA guidance that came out with COVID, and HIPAA, for those not completely familiar, excuse me, is the law that guides confidentiality protection for patients' health information. And so with our very first case in April, that was around the time that the rest of the country was grappling with, how are we going to handle this confidentiality stuff in an infectious disease environment? And so the requirement is, and this is the process that we've been following, is that when somebody's identified as being a positive household, that information is sent to incident command, who in turn communicates with the chief of police, so that if fire, ambulance, or police have to respond to a household, they will know that that address involves requirements of extra protection for the staff and protocols for interfacing with a household.
Okay. We have another caller. We'll go ahead with that call now. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi. How many contact tracers does the tribe currently have certified?
I'm not sure I can answer that. I had just left a different meeting, and I was fortunately not able to connect with Dr. Stake this morning. There was a training that was offered with CRIB, and I think there were probably four or five individuals, again, not all Kamau employees, there are other departments involved, that people did receive training. Whether or not they were able to attend the full course and receive the certification, I can't answer that. But again, we know that that's an area that needs to be built up. Through our advocacy, we've been able to get the county to assign more people to assist with Eastern Humboldt, and again, have more recently even reached out to the state to get additional resources for contact tracing, but also as this progresses, if we need to expand our testing capacity if the county can't meet our need.
So you don't feel that it would be faster to get our own people certified instead of depending on other agencies?
I think it's something that we're looking at. I think the subtleties of contact tracing, certainly working and doing something new, it's not unfortunately just a playbook that you just go through and ask certain questions. There's all these subtleties of asking questions. There's subtleties of matching it in with the CDC guidance, not just about the process of training, of the tracing, but linking it to onset of symptoms, recovery of symptoms, exposure and the timing of the exposure, the timing of testing. So there's a lot of subtleties that I think collaboratively we can continue to expand effectively what we're doing in addressing this outbreak.
Okay, caller. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling. Well, that is a real concern as far as this whole effort. That's one of the key efforts that we have to really keep modifying and keep changing to make it more effective, to be able to not only track and find out who the people that have been affected, who they came in contact with. That's a crucial part of controlling this epidemic. And I think that that's why we're depending on the community through like this program and other things that we've got going on to receive suggestions from the public and our membership. I'm really depending on that. We're getting some good questions that I think we're going to be incorporating into our effort. I don't see any more callers. Does anybody on the panel here want to conclude anything? No? Okay, well, we'll go ahead and we'll be back on here tomorrow morning, or tomorrow at noontime again. So we'll go ahead and conclude this program. I think it was very productive. So thank you for listening, and we'll see you around.
Thank you for listening to the COVID-19 Update Program hosted by Tribal Chairman Byron Nelson, Jr. This is a daily program, so if you didn't get a chance to ask your question, listen again tomorrow. Your host was Tribal Chairman Byron Nelson, Jr. The show is line produced by Michael Heminger, executive produced by Joseph Orozco, and Cody Yarbrough does promotions for the program. We invite you to join us again tomorrow afternoon at 12 noon for the Chairman's Report COVID-19 Update Program on KIDE Hoopa Tribal Radio.